Although I braced myself for another round of wall-banging, the next few days were uneventful. I worked, I walked, I clived. I went out with my girls. I made a great zucchini bread in my now well-broken-in KitchenAid, and I spent time researching my vacation. Each year, I took a week and vacationed somewhere totally alone, somewhere exciting, and I never went to the same place twice. One year I spent a week hiking in Yosemite. One year I went ziplining through a rainforest canopy at an eco-lodge in Costa Rica. Another year I spent a week scuba diving off the coast of Belize. And this year, I wasn't sure where I was going to go. Going to Europe was becoming prohibitively expensive in this economy, so that was out. I was considering Peru, as I'd always wanted to see Machu Picchu. I had plenty of time, but often half the fun was deciding where I wanted to spend my vacation. I also spent an inordinate amount of time at my peephole. Yes, it's true. Whenever I heard a door close, I actually ran to my door. Clive looked on with a smirk. He knew exactly what I was up to. Why he was judging me, however, I will never know, as his ears perked up every time he heard noises coming up the stairs. He was still pining for his Purina. I still hadn't actually seen Simon. One day I got to the peephole in time to see him going into his apartment, but all I caught was a black T-shirt and a mess of dark hair. And even that could have been dark blonde. Hard to tell in the muted hallway light. I needed brighter lighting for better sleuthing. Another time I saw the Land Rover pulling away from the curb as I came around the corner on my way home from work. It was going to pass right by. Just as I was about to get the first peek at him, actually see the man behind the myth, I tripped and went ass over apple cart on the sidewalk. Luckily, Ewan spotted me and helped me, my bruised ego, and my bruised bum off the concrete and inside for some Bactine with a whiskey chaser. But all remained quiet at night. I knew Simon was home, and I could hear him occasionally. A chair leg moving across the floor, a quiet laugh or two, but no harem, and therefore no wall banging. However, we did sleep together most nights. He played Duke Ellington and Glenn Miller on his side of the wall, and I lay in bed on my side, listening shamelessly. My grandpa used to play his old records at nighttime, and the pop and crackle of a needle on vinyl was comforting as I fell asleep, Clive curled up at my side. I'll say this for Simon. He had good taste in music. But this calm and quiet was too good to last, and all hell broke loose again a few nights later. First, I was treated to another round of spanks. She had once again been a very bad girl and certainly deserved the resounding spanking she received, a spanking that lasted almost half an hour and ended with calls of, "That's it, right there, God, yes, right there," before the actual walls began to shake. I'd lain awake that night, rolling my eyes and growing more and more frustrated. The next morning, from my post at the peephole, I saw Spanx leaving and got my first really good look at her. Pink-faced and glowing, she was a soft, round, little bit of a girl with curvy hips and thighs and packing some serious junk in the trunk. She was short, really short, and a little plump. She had to stand on tiptoes as she kissed Simon goodbye, and I missed seeing him because I watched her walk away. I marveled at his taste in women. She was the total opposite of what I'd seen of Purina, who looked like a model. Anticipating that Purina was soon up on the roster, the following night I gave Clive a sock full of catnip and a bowl full of tuna. My hope was to get him wasted and passed out before the action started. The treats had the opposite effect. My boy was ready to party down when the first strains of Purina came shrieking through the walls about 1:15 in the morning. If Clive could have put on a mini smoking jacket, he would have. He stalked the room, pacing back and forth in front of the wall, playing it cool. When Purina began her meows, though, he couldn't contain himself. He once again launched toward the wall. He jumped from nightstand to dresser to shelf, scaling pillows and even a lamp to get closer to his beloved. When he realized he would never be able to burrow under the plaster, he serenaded her with some weird kind of Kitty Barry White, his yowls matching hers in intensity. When the walls began to shake and Simon was bringing it on home, I was amazed they could maintain their control and focus with the racket going on. Clearly, if I could hear them, they must have been able to hear Clive and all his carrying on. Although if I were impaled on the wall-banger Wondercock, I imagine I could compartmentalize as well. For now, though, I was impaled on nothing and getting angry. I was tired. I was horny with no release in sight, and my cat had a Q-tip sticking out of his mouth that looked frighteningly like a tiny cigarette. After an abbreviated night's sleep, the next morning I dragged myself to the peephole for another round of harem watch. I was rewarded with a brief side profile of Simon as he leaned in to kiss Purina goodbye. It was quick, but it was enough to see the jaw. Strong, defined, good. He gave great jaw. The best thing about that day was the jaw sighting. The rest of the day was shit. First, there was a problem with the general contractor over at the Nicholson house. It seems he was not only taking extremely long lunch breaks, he was actually blazing it up in their attic every day. The whole third floor smelled like a Grateful Dead concert. Then, an entire pallet of tiles from the bathroom floor arrived cracked and shipped. The amount of time needed to reorder and reship would set the entire project back at least 2 weeks, leaving no possibility of finishing on time. Any time major construction takes place, the project end date is an estimated time of completion. However, I have never missed a deadline, and this being such a high-profile job, it made me very warm, not in a good way, to realize there was nothing I could do to speed things up, short of flying to Italy and bringing back those tiles my damn self. After a quick lunch, during which I spilled an entire soda all over the floor and thoroughly embarrassed myself, I headed back toward work and stopped in a store to look at some new hiking boots. I had plans to go hiking in the Marin Headlands this weekend. As I examined the selection, I felt warm breath in my ear that I instinctively flinched against. "Hey, you," I heard, and I froze in terror. Flashbacks poured over me, and I saw spots. I felt cold and hot at the same time, and the single most horrifying experience of my life passed through my mind. I turned and saw Corey Weinstein, the machine gun fucker who'd hijacked the O. "Caroline, looking good in the neighborhood," he crooned, channeling his inner Tom Jones. I swallowed back bile and struggled to keep my composure. "Corey, good to see you. How are you?" I managed.
"Can't complain. Just touring restaurants for the old man. How are you? How's the decorating business treating you?"
"Design business, and it's good. In fact, I was just on my way back to work, so if you'll excuse me," I sputtered, beginning to push past him,
Hey, no rush, pretty thing. Have you had lunch? I can get you a discount on some pizza just a few blocks away. How does 5% off sound to you? He said. If it was possible for a voice to swagger, his did. Wow, 5%. As much as that does sweeten the pot, I'm gonna pass. I chuckled. So, Caroline, when can I see you again? That night, damn, it was pretty great, huh?
He winked, and my skin begged me to tear it from my body and throw it at him. No.
No, Corey, and hell no,
I blurted, the bile rising again. Flashes of in and out and in and out and in and out. My hoo-ha shrieked in its own defense. Granted, the two of us were not on great terms, but nevertheless, I knew how afraid she was of the machine gun.
Not on my watch. Oh, come on, baby. Let's make some magic,
he cooed. He leaned in, and I could tell he'd had sausage recently. Corey, you should know I'm about to vomit on your shoes, so I'd back up if I were you. He blanched and stepped away. And for the record,
I'd rather staple my head to the wall than make magic with you again.
You and me and your 5% discount? Not going to happen. Bye-bye now. I said through clenched teeth and stalked out of the store. I stomped back to work, angry and alone. No Italian tiles, no hiking boots, no man, and no O. I spent the night on the couch in a funk. I didn't answer the phone. I didn't make dinner. I ate leftover Thai from the takeout container and growled back at Clive when he tried to sneak a shrimp. He flounced to the corner and glared at me from under a chair. I watched Barefoot Contessa, which usually cheered me up. Tonight she made French onion soup and took it to the beach for lunch with her husband Jeffrey. Normally, watching the two of them made me all warm and fuzzy inside. They were so cute. Tonight, they made me nauseous. I wanted to be sitting on the beach in East Hampton, wrapped in a blanket and eating soup with Jeffrey. Well, not Jeffrey, per se, but a Jeffrey equivalent. My own Jeffrey. Fucking Jeffrey. Fucking Barefoot Contessa. Fucking lonely takeout. When it was late enough that I could justify going to bed and putting this terrible day behind me, I dragged my sad sack self back to my bedroom. I went to get my PJs and realized I hadn't done any laundry. Damn it. I dug around in my jammies drawer, looking for something, anything. I had plenty of sexy little numbers from back in the day when O and I were on the same page. I grumbled and fumed and finally pulled out a pink baby doll nightie. It was frilly and sweet, and while I used to love to sleep in beautiful lingerie, I currently hated it. It was a physical reminder of my missing O. Although it had been a while since I'd attempted to contact her, maybe tonight would be the night. I was certainly tense. No one could use the release more than me. I shooshed Clive out and closed the door. No one needed to see this. I turned on some NXS, since tonight I needed all the help I could get. Michael Hutchins always got me close. I climbed into bed, arranged the pillows behind me, and slipped between the sheets. My bare legs slid along the cool cotton. There's nothing like the feeling of freshly shaved legs on high thread count sheets. Maybe this was a good idea after all. I closed my eyes and tried to slow my breathing. The last few times I'd attempted to find the O, I was so thoroughly frustrated that by the end, I was near tears. Tonight, I began with the usual fantasy roundup. I started with a little Catalano, allowing my hands to slip under the bottom of my nightie and come up to my breasts. As I thought of Jordan Catalano / Jared Leto kissing Angela Chase / Claire Danes in the basement of the school, I imagined it was me. I felt his kisses thick and heavy on my lips, and it became his hands sliding up my skin toward my nipples, as my / Jordan's fingers began to massage. I felt that familiar tug low in my tummy, getting warm all over. With my eyes still closed, the image changed to Jason Bourne / Matt Damon attacking my skin. With the two of us on the run from the government, only our physical connection kept us alive. My / Jason's fingers trailed lightly down my belly, sliding inside my matching panties. I could feel my touch working. It was waking something, stirring something inside. I gasped when I felt how ready I was for Jason and for Jordan. Jesus! The thought of the two of them together, working to bring back the O, made me actually twitch. I moaned and went for the big guns. I went Clooney. Flashes of Clooney came to me as my fingers teased and twirled, twisted and taunted. Danny Ocean, George from The Facts of Life, and then I went for it. Dr. Ross. Third season of ER after the Caesar haircut had been rectified. I moaned and groaned. It was working. I was actually getting really turned on. For the first time in months, my brain and the rest of me seemed to be in tune. I rolled onto my side, hand between my legs, as I saw Dr. Ross kneeling before me. He licked his lips and asked me when was the last time anyone had made me scream. "You have no idea. Make me scream, Dr. Ross." Behind tightly closed eyes, I saw him lean toward me, his mouth getting closer and closer. He gently pressed my knees farther apart, placing kisses on the inside of each thigh. I could actually feel his breath on my legs, which made me shiver. His mouth opened, and that perfect Clooney tongue flickered out to taste me. Thump. Oh, God. Thump, thump. Oh, God. No. 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 Simon. I couldn't believe it. Even Dr. Ross looked confused. So. Fucking. Good. I groaned as I felt Dr. Ross leaving me. I was wet. I was frustrated. And now Clooney thought someone was laughing at him. He began to back away. No, don't leave me, Dr. Ross. Not you. That's it. That's it. Oh, oh. The walls began to shake, and the bed thumping began. That's it. Giggle this, bitch. I scrambled to my feet, Catalano and Bourne and the ever-loving Dr. Ross fading away in wisps of testosterone-laden smoke. I whipped open the door and stalked out of my bedroom. Clive held out a paw and started to reproach me for shutting him out, but when he saw my face, he wisely let me pass. I stomped to my front door, my heels pounding into the hardwood floor. I was beyond angry. I was livid. I'd been so close. I opened my front door with the strength of 1,000 angry oaths denied release for centuries. I began to pound on his door. I pounded hard and long, like Clooney had been about to do. I banged again and again, never relenting, never letting up. I could hear feet slapping toward the door, but still I didn't let up. The frustration of the day and the week and the months without an O unleashed itself in a tirade the likes of which no one had ever seen. I heard locks rattling and chains coming undone, but still onward I banged. I began to yell, "Open this door, you asshole, or I will come through the wall." "Take it easy. Quit that banging," I heard Simon say. Then the door swung open and I stared. There he was, Simon. Silhouetted by soft light from behind, Simon stood with one hand grasping the door and the other holding a white sheet around his hips. I looked him over from top to bottom, my hand still hanging in the air, clenched into a fist. It was pulsing. I'd been banging so hard. He had jet black hair that stood straight up, likely from Giggler's hands buried in it as he plowed into her. His eyes were piercing blue, and cheekbones just as strong as the jaw. Completing the package, kiss swollen lips, and what looked like about 3 days' worth of scruff. Jesus, there was scruff. How had I missed that this morning? I gazed down his long, lean body. He was tan, but not a premeditated tan. Outdoorsy tan. Weathered tan. Manly tan. His chest rose and fell as he panted, his skin coated in a thin sheen of sex sweat. As my eyes traveled down further, I saw a smattering of dark hair low on his torso, which led below the sheet. Below the six-pack, below that V that some men have, and which on him didn't look weird or bow-flexed. He was stunning. Of course he was stunning. And why did there have to be scruff? I inadvertently gasped as my gaze dropped lower than I had intended. But my eyes were drawn as if by a magnet, lower and lower. Beneath the sheet, which was already lower on his hips than should be legal, he was still hard. Chapter 5.
Oh, God!
Thump.
Oh, God!
Thump, thump. I was traveling up the bed with the strength of his thrusts. He drove into me with unflinching force, giving me exactly what I could take, then pushing me just past that edge. He stared down at me, hard, flashing a knowing smirk. I closed my eyes, letting myself feel how deeply I was being affected. And by deep, I mean deep. He grasped my hands and brought them above my head to the headboard. "You're gonna want to hold on tight for this," he whispered, and threw one of my legs up over his shoulder as he altered the rhythm of his hips.
"Simon!"
I shrieked, feeling my body begin to spasm. His eyes, those damnable blue eyes, bore into mine as I shook around him.
"Simon!"
I screamed again, and promptly woke up, with my arms over my head, hands tightly grasping the headboard. I closed my eyes for a moment and forced my fingers to uncurl. When I looked again, I could see dents in my hands from gripping so tightly. I struggled to sit up. I was covered in sweat and panting. I was actually panting. I found the sheets in a ball at the foot of the bed, with Clive buried underneath, just his nose peeking out.
"Oh, Clive, are you hiding?"
"Meow,"
came the angry reply, and a tiny face followed the kitty nose.
"You can come out, silly. Mommy's done screaming, I think,"
I chuckled, running a hand through my damp hair. I had charmingly sweated through my PJs, so I got up to stand over the AC vent, cooling off and beginning to calm down.
"That was close, huh, oh?"
I grimaced, pressing my legs together and feeling a not unpleasant ache between my thighs. Ever since the night Simon and I met in the hallway, I couldn't stop dreaming about him. I didn't want to, really didn't want to, but my unconscious mind had taken over and was having her way with him, nocturnally. My body and brain were separate on this one. Brain knew better. Lower Caroline was not so sure. Clive pushed past me and ran into the kitchen to do his little dance next to his bowl.
"Yeah, yeah, yeah, settle down," I croaked as he threaded himself in and out of my ankles.
I dumped a scoop of kibble in his bowl and hit the coffee. I leaned against the counter and tried to collect myself. I was still breathing a little hard. That dream had been... well, it had been intense. I thought again of his body perched over mine, a bead of sweat rolling off his nose and dropping onto my chest. He'd lowered himself and dragged his tongue up my stomach, toward my breasts, and then... ping, ping! Mr. Coffee brought me back from my saucy thoughts, and I was grateful. I could feel myself getting worked up again. Is this gonna be a problem? I poured a cup of coffee, peeled a banana, and looked out the window. I ignored my compulsion to massage the banana and thrust it into my mouth. Oh, sweet Christ, the thrusting! This was headed south fast, and by south, I mean... I slapped myself in the face and forced my mind to think of something besides the man-whore I was currently sharing a wall with. Inane things. Innocuous things. Puppy dogs. Doggy style. Ice cream cones. Licking his cone and two scoops. Children's games. Damn, did I want to do whatever Simon says.
Okay, enough. Now you aren't even trying.
While showering, I sang the Star-Spangled Banner over and over again to keep my hands from doing anything other than washing up. I needed to remember what an asshole he was, not how he looked in only a sheet and a grin. I closed my eyes and leaned into the spray, remembering that night again. Once I'd stopped staring at his... well... his below the sheet, I'd opened my mouth to speak.
"Now look here, mister. Do you have any idea how loud you are? I need my sleep. If I have to listen to one more night, one more minute, in fact, of you and your harem banging away on my wall, I'll go insane."
I yelled to release all the tension that would have, could have, should have been released already in a very Clooney way.
"Just settle down. It can't be that bad. These walls are pretty thick."
He grinned, pumping his fist against the doorframe and trying to unleash a little charm. He was clearly used to getting what he wanted.
With abs like that, I could see why.
I shook my head to impart focus. "Are you out of your mind?
The walls are not nearly as thick as your head. I can hear everything. Every spank, every meow, every giggle, and I have had it. This shit ends now, I screeched, feeling my face burn with fury. I'd even used air quotes to emphasize the spank, meow, and giggle. As I spoke of his harem, he began to downshift from charm to chastise. Hey, that's about enough, he shot back. What I do in my home is my business. I'm sorry if I disturbed you, but you can't just come over here in the middle of the night and dictate what I can and can't do. You don't see me coming across the hall and banging on your door. No, you just bang on my damn wall. We share a bedroom wall. You're right up against me when I'm trying to sleep. Have some common courtesy. Well, how come you can hear me and I can't hear you? Wait, wait. There's no one banging on your walls, is there?
He smirked, and I felt the color drain from my face. I crossed my arms tightly across my chest, and as I looked down, I remembered what I was wearing. Pink baby doll nightie. What a way to establish credibility. As I fumed, his eyes drifted down my body, unabashedly taking in the pink and the lace and the way my hip jutted out as I tapped my foot angrily. His eyes finally came back up, and he met my stare, not backing down. Then, with a twinkle in those baby blues, he winked at me. I saw red. Oh! I'd screamed and slammed back into my apartment. Mortified now, I let the water wash away my frustration. I hadn't seen him since. But what if I did? I thumped my head against the tiles. When I opened the front door 45 minutes later, I tossed a goodbye to Clive over my shoulder and prayed silently that there'd be no random harem girls in the hallway. All clear. I pushed my sunglasses on as I walked out the door of the building, barely noticing the Land Rover. And by barely, I mean I barely noticed that Rover rhymed with over, as in bend me over the chair in my family room and... Caroline? I might have a problem here. Later that afternoon, Jillian stuck her head inside my office. Knock, knock, she said, smiling. Hey, what's going on? I leaned back in my chair. Ask me about the house in Sausalito. Hey, Jillian, how's the house in Sausalito? I asked, rolling my eyes. Done, she whispered, and threw her arms in the air. Shut up, I whispered back. Totally, completely, absolutely done. She squealed and sat down across from me. I offered a fist bump across the desk. Now that is some good news. We need to celebrate. I reached into a drawer. Caroline, if you pull out a bottle of scotch, I'm going to have to consult human resources, she warned, a grin twitching. First of all, you are human resources. And second of all, like I would keep scotch in my office. Obviously, that's in a flask lashed to my thigh. I giggled and produced a blow pop. Nice. Watermelon even. My favorite, she said, as we unwrapped and began to suck. So, tell me all about it, I prompted. I'd been consulting a little with Jillian as she chose the final touches on the house she and Benjamin had been renovating, and I knew it was just the kind of house I'd been dreaming of for years. Like Jillian, it would be warm, inviting, elegant, and filled with light. We talked shop for a while, and then she let me get back to work. By the way, housewarming next weekend. You and your posse are invited, she said on her way out the door. Did you just say posse? I asked. I might have,
You in? Sounds great. Can we bring anything and can we stare at your fiancé? Don't you dare. And I would expect nothing less, she fired back. I smiled as I went back to work. Party in Sausalito? Sounded promising.
You don't seriously have a crush on him, do you? I mean, how many dreams have you had about him?
Mimi asked, sucking on her straw.
A crush? No, he's an asshole. Why would I?
Of course she doesn't. Who knows where that dick has been? Caroline would never, Sophia answered for me, tossing her hair over her shoulder and stunning stupid a table of businessmen who'd been staring since she walked in. We'd met for lunch at our favorite little bistro in North Beach. Mimi settled back into her chair and giggled, kicking me under the table. Piss off, pipsqueak. I stared hard at her, blushing furiously. Yeah, piss off, pipsqueak. Caroline knows better than to. Sophia laughed, then trailed off, finally taking off her sunglasses and switching her gaze to me. The cellist and the pipsqueak watched me fidget. One smiled and the other swore. Ah, jeez, Caroline. Do not tell me you are crushing on that guy. Oh, no. You are, aren't you? Sophia huffed as the waiter set down a bottle of S. Pellegrino. He stared at her as she ran her fingers through her hair, and she waved him away with a carefully aimed wink. She knew how men looked at her, and it was fun to watch her make them squirm. Mimi was different. She was so tiny and cute that initially men were drawn in by her innate charm. Then they really got a look at her and realized she was lovely. Something about her made men want to take care of her and protect her until they got her to the bedroom. Or so I've been told. Crazy town, that one was. I'd been told I was pretty, and on some days I believed it. On a good day, I knew I could work it. I never felt as hot as Sophia or as perfectly pulled together as Mimi, but I cleaned up well. I knew when the three of us went out, we could really work a scene, and until recently, we'd used this to our advantage. We each had very distinct types, which was good. We rarely went for the same guy. Sophia was very particular. She liked her men long, lean, and pretty. She liked them not too tall, but taller than her. She wanted her men polite and smart, and preferably with blonde hair. It was her true weakness. She was also a sucker for a southern accent. Seriously, if a guy called her sugar, she'd pounce first and introduce herself later. I had first-hand knowledge of this because I'd messed with her one night when she was wasted using my best Oklahoma accent. I had to fight her off the rest of the evening. She claimed it was college and she wanted to experiment. Mimi, on the other hand, was particular but not with a specific look. She went for overall size. She liked her men big, huge, tall and strong. She loved when they had to pick her up to kiss her, or stand her on a stool so they didn't get neck cramps. She liked her men a little on the sarcastic side and hated condescending. Because she was small, she had a tendency to draw types that wanted to protect. But girlfriend had been taking karate since she was a kid, and she needed no one's protection. She was a badass in a retro skirt. I was harder to pin down, but I knew him when I saw him. Like the Supreme Court and pornography, I was aware. I did have a tendency toward outdoorsy guys, lifeguards, scuba divers, rock climbers. I liked them clean-cut, but a little shaggy, gentlemanly, with a touch of bad boy, and making enough money that I didn't have to play mommy.
I'd spent a summer with a hotter-than-hell surfer who couldn't afford his own peanut butter. Even Micah's round-the-clock orgasms couldn't save him when I found out he'd been using my Amex to pay for his sex wax, and his cell phone bill, and his trip to Fiji that I wasn't even invited on. To the curb, surfer boy. To the curb. I might have taken one more for the road before he left, though. Ah, the days before O's departure. Round-the-clock orgasms. Sigh. So wait a minute. Have you seen him since the hallway encounter? Sophia asked after we'd ordered and I'd come back from my surfer memories.
No,
I groaned. Mimi patted my arm soothingly. He's cute, isn't he?
Damn it, yes.
Too cute for his own good. He's such an asshole. I slammed my hand down on the table so hard I made the silverware bounce. Sophia and Mimi exchanged a glance, and I showed them my middle finger. And that morning he was in the hallway with Purina, kissing on her. It's like some sick, twisted orgasm town going over there, and I want no part of it, I said, chewing furiously on my lettuce after telling them the story for the third time.
I can't believe Jillian didn't warn you about this guy, Sophia mused, pushing her croutons around on her plate.
She was on a no-bread thing again, terrified of the 5 pounds she claimed she'd put on in the last year. She was full of it, but there was no arguing with Sophia when she set her mind to something.
No, no, she says she doesn't know this guy, I reported.
He must have moved in since the last time she was there. I mean, she hardly ever stayed in that place. They just kept it so they always had a place to stay in the city. According to the neighbors, he's been in the building only a year or so, and he travels all the time. As I spoke, I realized I'd compiled quite a dossier on this guy.
So, has he been wall-banging at all this week? Sophia asked.
Relatively quiet, actually.
Either he really listened to me and is being neighborly, or his dick finally broke off in one of them and he sought medical attention, I said a little too loudly.
The table of businessmen must have been listening pretty closely, as they all choked a little just then and shifted in their seats, perhaps crossing their legs in unwitting sympathy.
We giggled and continued our lunch.
Speaking of Jillian, you guys are invited out to the house in Sausalito next weekend for their housewarming party, I informed them. They both immediately fanned themselves. Benjamin was the one guy we all agreed on. Whenever we'd plied Jillian with enough liquor, we'd confess our crush to her and make her tell us stories about him. If we were lucky and had managed to get an extra martini in her, well, let's just say it was nice to know sex continued to be worth doing even after your man was well into his 40s. The one about Benjamin and the Tonga room at the Fairmont Hotel? Wow, she was a lucky woman.
That'll be cool. Why don't we come over and get ready at your place like the old days?
Mimi squealed as Sophia and I plugged our ears.
Yes, yes, that's fine, but no more squealing, or we'll leave your ass with the bill.
Sophia scolded as Mimi settled back into her seat, eyes sparkling. After lunch, Mimi walked toward her next appointment around the corner, and Sophia and I shared a cab.
So, naughty dreams about your neighbor? Let's hear it, she began, to the great delight of the cab driver.
Eyes on the road, sir, I instructed as I caught him looking at us in the rearview mirror. I let my thoughts drift to the dreams which had come every night for the past week. I, on the other hand, had not, ratcheting up my sexual frustration to a critical point. When I could ignore the O, I was okay. Now that I was treated to dreams of Simon every night, O's absence was even more pronounced. Clive had taken to sleeping on top of the dresser, safer than my flailing legs, you see.
The dreams are good, but he's such an asshole, I exclaimed, thumping my fist on the door.
I know, that's what you keep saying, she added, looking at me carefully.
What? What is that look?
Nothing, just looking at you. You're awfully worked up over someone who's an asshole, she said.
I know.
I sighed, looking out the window. You're poking me.
I am not.
Seriously, what the hell is in your pocket, Mimi? Are you packing? Sophia exclaimed, jerking her head away as Mimi pressed the curling iron through her hair. I smiled from my place on the bed, lacing up my sandals. I'd put my own hair up in rollers before the girls got here, so I'd been spared the full treatment. Mimi fancied herself some kind of beauty school dropout, and if she could have opened a shop in her bedroom, she'd have given it some careful thought. Mimi produced a brush from her pocket and showed it to Sophia before starting to tease. With the brush, that is. We were pre-partying just like we did at Berkeley, right down to the frozen daiquiris. Although we'd upgraded to the good alcohol and freshly squeezed lime juice, it still made us a little hyper and slap-happy.
Come on, come on! You never know who you might meet tonight. You don't want to meet Prince Charming with flat hair, do you? Mimi reasoned as she forced Sophia to flip her hair over to get some lift at the crown.
You didn't argue. You just let her do it. I'm not flat anywhere, and if these girls are on display, Prince Charming won't even notice I have hair, Sophia muttered, which sent me into another gale of giggles.
Then, over our laughter, I heard voices from next door. I got up off the bed and went closer to the wall where I could hear better. This time, instead of just Simon, there were two other distinctly male voices. I couldn't make out what they were saying, but suddenly Guns N' Roses came blaring through the walls loud enough to make Sophia and Mimi stop what they were doing.
What the hell is that? Sophia snapped, looking wildly around the room.
Simon's a Gunner fan, I guess.
I shrugged, secretly enjoying being welcomed to the jungle. I put a headband low on my forehead and did Axel's crab dance back and forth, much to the delight of Mimi and the scorn of Sophia.
No, no, no. That's not it, fool. Sophia scolded over the music and grabbed another headband.
Mimi screamed with laughter as Sophia and I Axel battled. Until, of course, Sophia started to mess up her hair. Then Mimi lunged. Sophia jumped on the bed to get away from her, and I joined her. We jumped up and down, shrieking the lyrics now and dancing wildly. Mimi finally gave in, and all three of us danced like mad fools. I started to feel the bed moving underneath us, and I realized it was banging merrily against the wall. Simon's wall. Take that, and a little of that. No one's banging on my walls, huh? I shrieked crazily as Mimi and Sophia watched in amazement. Sophia climbed off the bed, and she and Mimi clutched each other as they laughed, and I thumped. I rocked back and forth like I was surfing, driving my headboard into the wall again and again. The music cut off suddenly, and I dropped like I'd been shot. Mimi and Sophia clasped their hands over each other's mouths while I lay flat on the bed, biting my own knuckle to keep from laughing. The frenzy in the room was like when you got caught TPing someone's house, or laughing in the back of church. You couldn't stop, and you couldn't not stop.
bang, bang, bang. No way. He was banging at me? Bang, bang, bang. He was banging at me. Bang, bang, bang. I gave as good as I got. I couldn't believe he had the balls to try to get me to quiet down. I heard male voices chuckling. Bang, 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 came once more, and my temper flared. Oh, he really was an asshole. I looked at the girls incredulously, and they jumped back on the bed with me. Bang, 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 we pounded, six furious fists raining down on the plaster. Bang, 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 came back to us, much, much louder this time. His boys must have gotten in on the action. Give it up, mister. No sex for you, I yelled at the wall as my girls cackled maniacally. Tons of sex for me, sister. None for you, he yelled all too clearly through the wall. I raised my fists to bang once more. Bang, 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 rang out from my side. Bang, bang. A single fist answered back, and then all was silent. Ooh! I screamed at the wall, and I could hear Simon and his boys laughing. Mimi, Sophia, and I stared wide-eyed at one another until we heard a tiny sigh from behind us. We turned to see Clive sitting on the dresser. He stared back at us, sighed again, and proceeded to lick his bum. The nerve! I mean, the mother-loving nerve of that guy! He has the balls to actually bang on my wall? On my wall? I mean, God, what an asshole! We know, Mimi and Sophia said in unison as I continued my rant. Yes, an asshole, I continued, still worked up. We were in the car on the way to Jillian's party. The car service had arrived promptly at 8:30, and we were soon headed over the bridge. As I looked out at the twinkling lights of Sausalito, I began to calm down a little. I refused to let that guy upset me. I was out with my two best friends, about to attend a fantastic housewarming hosted by the best boss in the world. And if we were lucky, her fiancé would let us see the pictures of him when he was a swimmer in college, back when swimmers still just wore tiny Speedos. We would sigh and gaze endlessly until Jillian made us put them away. And then she would usually put Benjamin away, too, for the night. I'm telling you, I have a really good feeling about tonight. I feel like something's going to happen, Mimi mused, staring thoughtfully out the window. Something's going to happen, all right. We'll have a great time, drink way too much, and I'll probably try to cop a feel off Caroline on the car ride home, Sophia said, winking at me. Sugar, I teased, and she blew me a kiss.
Oh, would you two forget your pseudo-lesbian romance? I'm being serious here, she continued, sighing in the harlequin romance voice she used sometimes. Who knows? Not sure about me, but maybe you'll meet your Prince Charming tonight, I whispered, smiling back at her hopeful face. Mimi was certainly the most romantic of the three of us. She was steadfast in her belief that everyone had a soulmate. I'd just settle for my soul, oh. When we pulled up to Benjamin and Jillian's house, there were cars parked everywhere along the winding street, and Japanese lanterns and luminary bags lined the property. Like most houses set into the hilly landscape, from the street there was nothing to look at. We giggled as we made our way through the gate, and I smiled when the girls stared at the contraption before us. I'd seen the plans for this,
but had yet to take a ride.
"What kind of fucked-up rickshaw is this?" Sophia blurted, and I couldn't help but laugh.
Jillian and Benjamin had designed and installed a hillivator, basically an elevator that went up and down the hill. Very practical when you consider the amount of steps it took to reach the house. Their hillside front yard was blanketed with terraced gardens and benches and various garden scenes, all artfully arranged on flagstone paths lit with tiki torches that led down the hill to the house. But for grocery shopping and other less leisurely approaches, the hillivator made for a much easier ride.
"Would you ladies care to use the lift or make your way down the path?" an attendant asked, appearing from the other side of the carriage.
"You mean ride in that thing?" Mimi squeaked.
"Sure, that's what it's made for.
Come on,"
I encouraged, stepping through the little door that he'd opened in the side. It really felt like a ski lift, except that it was going down a hill instead of up in the air.
"Yeah, okay, let's do it," said Sophia, climbing in behind me and plopping down on the seat.
Mimi shrugged and followed.
"There'll be someone at the bottom waiting for you. Enjoy the party, ladies."
He smiled, and we were off. As we rode down the hill, the house rose up to meet us. Jillian had created a purely magical world here, and as there were huge windows throughout the house, we could see into the party as we continued our descent.
"Wow, there are a lot of people here," Mimi noted,
her eyes huge. The sounds of a jazz band on one of the many patios below came tinkling up to us. I felt a little fluttering in my tummy as the cart came to a stop, and another attendant came to open the door. As we filed out and our heels click-clacked across the flagstone, I could hear Jillian's voice from inside the house and immediately smiled.
"Girls, you made it," she called as we walked in.
I turned in the space, taking it all in at once. The house was almost like a triangle set into the hillside and sprawling outward. Deep mahogany wood floors spread out beneath us, and the clean lines of the walls contrasted beautifully. Jillian's personal taste was a comfortable modern, and the colors in the house reflected the colors of the surrounding hillside. Warm, leafy greens, rich, earthy browns, soft, muted creams, and hints of deep marine blue. Almost the entire back of the two-story house was glass, taking advantage of the spectacular view. The moonlight danced on the water in the bay, and in the distance you could see the lights of San Francisco. Tears sprang to my eyes as I saw the home she and Benjamin had created for themselves, and as I looked back at her, I saw the excitement in her eyes.
"It's perfect," I whispered, and she hugged me tightly.
Sophia and Mimi gushed to Jillian as a waiter brought us each a glass of champagne. When Jillian left to go mingle, the three of us made our way out onto one of the many terraces to take stock. Waiters passed trays, and as we munched on roasted prawns and sipped our bubbly, we scanned the crowd for anyone we knew. Of course, many of Jillian's clients were there, and I knew I'd be mixing in a bit of work tonight, but right now I was content to eat my fancy shrimp and listen to Sophia and Mimi size up the men.
"Oh, Sophia, I see a cowboy for you right over there."
"No, no, wait, he's taken by another cowboy. Moving on."
Mimi sighed as she continued her search.
"I got him. I spotted your boy for tonight, Mimi,"
Sophia squealed in a whisper.
"Where? Where?"
Mimi whispered back, hiding her mouth behind a prawn. I rolled my eyes and grabbed another glass of bubbly as the waiter passed.
"Inside, see? Right over there by the island in the kitchen. Black sweater and khaki pants. Jesus, he is a tall drink of water. Nice.